is great to be here this morning. You know, it was mentioned, obviously, that today is Resurrection Day. But as I was reminded earlier that May 15th is Ascension Day. And although obviously it's important to have the resurrection first, but the ascension is really the one that we should pay more attention to than what we do. It is the time when Christ returned and cleansed the heavenly tabernacle, which is really where our sins are forgiven. It's actually at the cleansing of the temple. So anyway, good thing to remember. This morning, we are going to be in John chapter 14. The title of my encouragement this morning is When God Moves In. When God Moves In. So I want to pick up in verse 18 of John 14. And we're going to read through verse 23, because verse 23 is the one that I'm going to be focusing on this morning. But in verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. After a little while, the world will no longer is going to see me, but you are going to see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what has happened that you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? In verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will follow my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. So this is talking about a new kind of presence that Jesus is going to disclose to them. See, when he lived on the earth, his presence was physical. You could see him, hear him, touch him. But after his return to the Father, his presence would come in a new and a lot deeper form in it through the Spirit. This change is how Jesus was going to be present with them. It was not easy for the disciples to really understand what he was talking about. Be a difficult precept for them to really get a good handle on here. So in response, the disciples, particularly with Judas here, his question, Jesus is going to explain to them that he would continue to be present with his followers. It wasn't going to be physically, but spiritually. And what the conditions were for that spiritual presence. Faithfulness is what Christ is going to say is the key to his presence. It wasn't going to be random, and it's not going to be automatic. It's based on love and obedience. And those are the two things that Jesus is going to bring out here. So this loyalty shows up in both our hearts and our actions. Kind of been spoken about already this morning in the meditations. So what Jesus says here is love is the starting point. He says, if anyone loves me. That if is a very important word there. That really sets the tone for what Jesus is telling them and telling us today, okay? Love is, it's not abstract here. It's very personal. Each and every person on the entire face of the world earth that's ever lived or ever will live has been invited into a very close relationship with Christ himself. In Matthew 11, 28, Christ says, "Come to me all, everyone. Come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So that call goes out to everybody. And then Jesus is going to explain a little bit more about what this kind of love is going to talk about. Oh, and obviously, only few respond to that call. But Jesus is going to talk about the love that's required. It grows really from an understanding of who Jesus is, his character. Talked about that first hour, and I know that you ladies are as well. Talks about his goodness, his sacrificial love towards us. That's the basis of our love for him. It's a personal response on our part to obey his commandments. It's not just a religious ritual. There are some people that really like the ritual part of religion. Okay, we're not talking about what we believe here, but ritual is a very large part of a lot of religions throughout the world. Love is not something that you can put your, that you can see, that you can feel. You can feel it, but it's not something that's part of what we do, okay, on a Lord's Day assembly. It's a lot deeper than that. So it really challenges the idea that religion is only about a religion or tradition or church systems. It's about a real relationship that we need to have with God. You know, it's been said that Christianity is all about relationship, and it is. The real basis of it is our relationship. If we don't have a relationship with God, then our religion is hollow. We have to have that relationship, and it's based on our love towards him. In 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love because he loved us first." So, you know, the obedience that Christ talked about in verse 23, he says, if anyone loves me, he will follow my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our dwelling with him. So, by following Jesus's word, it really talks about obedience on our part, because obedience to what God is saying here is really proof of our love for him. Love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It shows itself in action. And in this case that Jesus is talking about, love shows itself through obedience to Christ's words. If you love me, you will obey. You'll do what I say. You cannot command an emotion. God can't command us to love him. Most of the people's understanding of what love is, most of the people's understanding of love is it's an emotion. Well, I can't command an emotion out of someone else. So that obviously can't be what Jesus is talking about. If he commands us to love, then it has to be more than an emotion. Because again, an emotion can't be commanded. But it can be commanded, what it says is it's not an emotion. It's an action. It shows itself in an action. And what Christ is talking about here is that action is by us obeying what he said. So, today, to obey Christ's words, it means knowing it. What is his word? Making time to study it, making time to understand it, remembering it. It requires remembering it, not letting his teachings slip from our memory. respecting it, seeing that His word, that it is the authority in our life, and it is binding, not adding to, not taking away, that whatever God said through His scriptures is that it is the authority. It's not on equal with anything else. And then living it, obeying it with joy. You know, that it's not out of duty, but out of gratitude and trust for what God has promised us. In 1 John 5:3, He tells us what love is. He says, this is love for God, to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So if you want a definition of what love is, you refer to the Bible, 1 John 5, that this is love for God, to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So true Christian love really lends to a life that mirrors Christ's own teachings. Again, it's not emotion, it's devotion in practice. Our love is devotion in practice. So what's God's response to this faithfulness? What Christ said in verse 23, it's love and intimacy. And that's where we're going to kind of shift a little bit here. We know that God, you know, so loved the world. We understand that. But he loves everyone in the world. But to the Christian, he takes it one step farther. He loves everybody, but the promise that Jesus makes here isn't for everybody. Well, it's for everybody that obeys, okay? So Jesus not only calls for love and obedience, but he also promises something that is so great in return. He reveals himself to the faithful in two extremely powerful ways. One, the first one was or is with love. And the second one is with fellowship. This is the fellowship part of that verse does not apply to everybody in the world. The Father's love is a response to our obedience. Through God's love, or, you know, though God's love, okay, is towards us, that always comes first. That's what Scripture says. He loved us first. But Jesus emphasizes that obedient love opens up the door to a much deeper experience of the Father's affection. God is not cold. He's not distant. It says He draws near to those who earnestly seek Him, love Him, and walk in His ways. Our faithfulness doesn't earn His love, okay? He doesn't, it's like, okay, well, you're faithful to me, so I gotta love you. That's not how that works. But it allows us to experience His love in a much fuller way. We know that there's nothing we can do to earn these things, but they are a response from God's part on what we do. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And this is the area where we start talking about God making His home with a Christian. See, Jesus takes it one step farther in verse 23 there. He says that both He and the Father will come and dwell with the Christian. And this is more than just a feeling of God's presence, okay? It is being the very place where God lives. That's a difficult concept, you know, because it's spiritual. We can't see it. You know, I know where a lot of you live physically, but when Jesus talks about here that God and Himself are going to come and dwell, to live, in someone, that's a difficult concept. You know, for us to really comprehend, because it is spiritual. It's not something you can be seeing with your physical eyes. And it really is an amazing promise. When you really get down to it, that is an amazing promise that Jesus says here, that the God of the universe, the creator of everything that you can see and unseen, that he is going to live in you. The Almighty chooses to take up residence in the heart of the person who loves and follows Christ. That's what Jesus says there. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? This indwelling is not some mystical fantasy or religious poetry that's in the Scripture. It's the new reality for every Christian under the new covenant. See, the Christian's life is really a two-way street. As I was mentioned earlier, that it is a relationship. Christianity is relationship-based. God's kindness and grace always comes first. No doubt about that. But our response of love and obedience opens the way for us to enjoy his presence in a much more intimate way. In short, Christ manifests himself not just to us, but in us. The Father's love towards us isn't just stated, it's not just declared, it's actually experienced in us. Our hearts actually become his home. That's kind of a neat thought, you know. Our hearts become his home. What are the practical implications, of daily life when that actually occurs? What does it look like when God makes his home in us? Well, peace, for sure. Spiritual strength. Guidance. And transformation. We're transformed into something different, something new. The truth of God making his home with us is not just some theological statement. It is transformational. When Jesus said we will come to him and make our home with him, he wasn't describing some future distant thing. It's now. It's real. It's present tense, personal. It's a practical reality for us. If God dwells with us, it changes everything about how we live, the decisions that we make, the relationships, the priorities in our lives, how we handle adversity. The indwelling of the Father and the Son means also that you're never alone. You are never alone. In your home, your car, your workplace, even those times when you are sad, feeling as though you are lost, but you're not. God is there. You are never alone. If you pause during the day occasionally and say, God, I know that you're here with me, can't that change a lot of the situation around you? God, I know that you're with me. Let that awareness shape your tone, your choices, and your responses. Our obedience really becomes intimate, not mechanical. It's not like, oh, okay, when we read through scriptures, I found a new passage that I hadn't seen in a while, so I have to make sure that I put that one in my life. It's not like we read and we're supposed to do that day, okay? We're supposed to be transformed into the image of Christ. When God is in the house, fear doesn't run wild. I won't make mention of Mia, okay? When she gets the zoomies running around the house, fear is not like that in our life. as a Christian, okay, that fear is gone. Peace isn't based on the circumstances that are surrounding us. It flows from God's presence. That's where the peace comes from. So when we face anxiety, sickness, financial pressures, by remembering God isn't watching from afar off, He is within us. He sees, He understands, He feels everything that you feel. So when God lives in you, even your hidden life matters. Philippians 4, verse 5, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. He doesn't say about most things. He says about anything. So thoughts, motives, private behavior, they're all lived in God's presence. Psalms 19, verse 14 is a great verse. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. So the psalmist here is recognizing that even the meditations of his heart, he's asking that they be acceptable to God. So if your heart is a dwelling place of God, then your life became automatically a place of welcome for others. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Interesting thought, isn't it? So, to kind of end up here, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to come and I'm going to visit you from time to time. He says, we will come and make our home with you. That means your heart becomes God's living room. Your heart becomes God's living room. You're comfortable in your living room, and that's where God lives, in your heart. Let's not leave it cluttered for Him with fear, bitterness, or worldliness. Let's sweep it clean daily, making it a space for His peace, His power, and His purposes. This peace is only the beginning, because when God moves in, He doesn't just comfort, He transforms. And that's that promise that Jesus made there, that He and the Father will come and make His abode with us, dwell within our hearts. That is just a tremendous thing for us to comprehend. And not just understand it, but to live like it. We have so many promises that come from God. We need to be thankful for that and live the life that Christ wants us to live. So, thank you for your attention this morning.